AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. Symbiotica.com.
The purpose of my life at that point in time was to experiment and do it as madly and crazily as possible without any limits. And I did it.
Welcome to another Ozzy Confidential. I'm your host, Eugene S. Robinson, and today we got something special. We got a multilingualist. We could do this interview in Swedish, we could do it in German, we could do it in English. I think we'll default to English. Former beauty queen, former Swedish royal, tracked her down outside of Stockholm in a town called Eskilstuna. Worldwide Nietzsche scholar. I'm not finished. Did I mention the Swedish royal part and the beauty queen part? I think I did. Did I mention the PhD and the work with on Nietzsche? Did I mention that? Or the professorial gig at a Tony East Coast University? But then things got stranger. But you know, we're going to let her tell it. Let's call her up, see what she has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, one Ms. Josephine Knockoff.
Hello?
Josephine.
Yeah.
Okay. You can hear me. So we are 6,000 miles away. Now where are you exactly? Give us a location. Like, where are you physically in time and space?
I am located about the same latitude as Anchorage, Alaska, Stockholm, a little bit east of there, in Eskilstuna, Sweden.
So I mispronounced it terribly. I pronounced it Eskiltuna. Is that wrong? Where I put the emphasis in the wrong place. What is it? Say it again.
Yeah, Eskiltuna. And Tuna is like town.
Ah.
Eskil's town.
I would have assumed it had something to do with canned fish. All right. So let's back up a bit. I gave you an intro. So you got the rocket ride through Stanford. You end up getting the PhD from, was it University of Pennsylvania? Did I have that right?
Yeah.
So now, after you get the PhD, I don't know, not having a PhD myself, I don't, is it like the Army? You go where they choose, where you get an assignment as a tenured professor? How does it work academically speaking? So you got your PhD, you're in the University of Pennsylvania. You have to pick where you go next. Do they pick you? Do you pick them? How did it happen?
No. I do not pick anybody. They pick me. We go to the APA convention, American Philosophical Association.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a whorehouse. I mean, there are people just walking around prostituting themselves and getting interviews. And I did, a few interviews. And Wake Forest was the one that went really well. I did have a few other good interviews, too, but they're the ones who finally ended up offering me the job
mm-hmm.
of assistant professor of philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be their Kant scholar because Immanuel Kant was the philosopher that I did my PhD in. His ethics, the categorical imperative, and act only in such a way that you can make your maxim into a universal law. That's what he's famous for. I'm sure you've read Kant, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. But now I got this confused. I think the Nehemos book threw me off because I assumed that it was Nietzsche.
No, I loved Nietzsche too. I mean, I did. I fell in love with philosophy at Stanford. I got attracted to the University of Pennsylvania as my grad school partly because of Nehemos. I did fell hard in love with Nietzsche when I was 18. And it was just like, it just broke the shackles of all the whole political correctness stuff that was going on back then, 1983.
Mm-hmm.
But then I fell in love with Kant too. I mean, I loved philosophy, and the University of Pennsylvania philosophy department had both a Kant scholar, Paul Guyer, who ended up being my advisor, and Nehemos before he went over to Princeton. And when he did move to Princeton, there was like a whole camp of us, trusty philosophy students driving over to Princeton every week to go to his classes there. But I did take some classes with Nehemos too.
Right.
He's a charismatic man.
So is Hitler, but that's I don't know why I said that. It seemed appropriate. But,
that's funny.
So, okay. So you end up in North Carolina, which is where Wake Forest is, right? So you've got from Sweden to California to North Carolina. That seems like a sort of culture mismatch, but it could just be my northern bias, right?
I am used to moving. I am a moving human being. So it wasn't a big deal for me to move, but going to North Carolina was actually sort of traumatizing because of the strong religious element and the fact that Winston-Salem was a really small town, and I stood out like a sore thumb. I did. I mean, not in a bad way, but they did pay attention to me. I'm not going to start looking like a secretary just because I live in Winston-Salem. I had my blonde Madonna hairdo and my little mini skirts, and I taught philosophy, and I go into restaurants and be like, "Oh, you're the new philosophy professor at Wizards.
Mm.
How do you guys even know me?" I was thinking to myself. It made me very uncomfortable, but it was a small town, and they did receive me well. They really did.
That seems to me to be a sort of a function of fame, right? Was it uncomfortable with the notice? It seems like it would have been pleasing.
Oh, Yeah, but I wasn't after fame at that point in my life. I was into the intellectual, you know, the scholarly academic thing. I was not into people recognizing me wherever I went.
You were there for how long? So you move there. It's kind of traumatizing, but you're adjusting or you're not adjusting or what happens?
I did enjoy teaching. I really did. And I got used to, you know, making a good name for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the students loved me and I was a good teacher and the faculty received me really well.
So it sounds like a pretty good deal.
Oh, it was a totally good deal. It was such a great deal. And if I hadn't, you know, and it's not really a matter of where I was. I would have probably felt empty and in need of something more anywhere in the world. No external context could have cured my inner need.
So what was going on? What was going on?
I had this inner yearning for meaning. I met a bartender who was connected to the cocaine scene. Because Winston-Salem is, like, if you make a beeline from Florida up to New York, Winston-Salem's pretty much in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So the cocaine shipments, they were pretty clean, you know, when they got to Winston. And through him, I started doing cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, that was good shit. And we only did it in the weekends. And then he got back to his job, and I had my job during the week, but I only had to work, like, what was it, 6 hours a week?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of free time on my hands, and I did have a lot of money because of my job. It was very well paid. I was expected to do research. I don't know. I have a quick mind. I did manage to do the research and teaching and a lot of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
So it became kind of a 24/7 kind of activity for me.
But you were teaching, so you were functioning, right? You were showing up. I mean,
Yeah. And that was into my, what was it, second or third year teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blur. But I did start doing cocaine and teaching successfully. And I know they hate me for this. They are really mad at me, the university, for spilling the beans in this way. But I did function and I did really well. And the students loved me. And I
So then what happened? How did this? I mean, it sounds to me like that's a prescription for success. I mean, not one that everybody should use, but you're teaching, students love you, you're there, you've made a home in Winston-Salem. What's the problem?
The problem became me. I couldn't just snort, you know, do a few lines and out of my little baggie with my key bump. You know, I had a little baggie with a straw in the ladies' room before class. That wasn't enough. I turned to crack, and that became a lot harder to do in the women's room. But I still managed to smoke crack and teach, bizarrely enough.
Would you go to your car or your office to smoke, or where would you go?
No, I didn't. I wasn't ever, you know, because people have these illusions about crack addiction, where it's like, you know, you have to have it like every half hour you go berserk. It's not heroin. I mean, heroin, that's what you know, you do your fix to get well. Crack, you do it to, you know, have fun or to feel attentive and alert. And I was able to stay alert. You know, my problem was my nerves. I've always been high strung and sensitive, hypersensitive. And the crack made me kind of relax. But when I had to go to teach, you know, I wouldn't wake up and smoke crack. I woke up and went to class and taught. And then I came home and smoked my crack.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, crack is, it's not a heroin drug. It's not a physical drug. It's psychological.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not regret for one second my drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Mm-hmm. Why not? Why not?
I do not. It was a trip into the underworld that my soul, because I do believe in the soul now, now that I don't do analytic philosophy, I get to believe in the soul. I don't have to be a materialist, I'm an empiricist anymore. My soul had this deeper calling, and I was pulled into this exploratory thing. Like, I crossed the River Styx and went down into the underworld, and I stayed there for a few years.
While teaching. So do you think that people you worked with had any sense at all, or none?
I had been caught with a DUI like a year earlier, and they found a gram of shake, like, that I'd just forgotten in my purse because it was really shitty weed, and it was there, but that was the only drug charge I ever had. And I actually told the faculty about that, and they're like, oh, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But then when this person called and snitched me out, they're like, oh, cocaine. And so then they gave me a drug test. I was like, well, you know, I really probably, if I had known my citizens' rights, I probably wouldn't have taken it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but yeah, whatever. I did. And I did test positive after, 10 days of not doing any crack. I was like, oh no, I should be clean. Definitely clean by now. But the drug tests are a lot, more, accurate when you're dealing with that kind of level of employer.
Okay, so they find for sure that you're taking cocaine, and what's their move at that point?
Well, then the dean is just like, you know, you have a choice, either resign or we fire you. So I resigned because that was technically better for me. I think, yeah, I got the benefits. I got a year, actually, of almost a year of severance pay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd already been denied tenure. So the actual amount of months that I was not without pay was insignificant. Well, not insignificant. I did lose very little money from being fired.
Mm-hmm.
But the honor and the shame has stuck with me like a huge stigma. It's like I am walking around still with this letter on my forehead, just like former cocaine addict.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, even now as a social worker, I am scared of using my name, Knockoff, which I just I changed it back from my former husband. My ex-husband was Zembeck, and I had that as like a cover name. I was like, oh, yeah, they can't Google me and find out about my horrible history.
Stay tuned for more of Ozzy Confidential, where the smart people go.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. CymbioTika.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
So if you resign, the next step, wouldn't the next step be that you try to get a, another philosophy job or at the very least get the hell out of Winston-Salem? Like, why would you stay there?
I stayed there. Yeah, I was told to stop teaching in May. And then I went to my first rehab, which didn't work. You know, the good thing about Wake Forest is they gave me the health insurance.
Right.
That's what kept me in Winston, was the health insurance. Because getting clean is not easy in the USA.
It's,
you know, here in Sweden, the state pays it. But there, you know, you have to be rich. You have to have a job to even get clean. I feel really sorry for people who are on drugs and do not have any kind of insurance that way. But I did go to that rehab, and it worked. But I did meet a guy that I kept in touch with, and he went to his sober living environment in Charlotte, and I went back to Winston, and I was clean, and I was like all peachy for a while. And yeah, then Phil, the guy from the rehab that I that went to Charlotte, he relapsed and got kicked out of his SLE, sober living environment. And he's like, "Oh, Josephine, can I come live with you?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." Because I can't say no. I mean, I cannot say no to somebody in need. And so he came and lived with me. And of course, then the drug abuse started. I mean, two addicts in one house, we're not going to stay clean off each other.
Seriously,
they're not. And so we started actually, we started shooting cocaine. He was a diabetic and he got free needles. And so that was like yet another step down from smoking crack down to shooting cocaine.
What's the difference in the experience?
Oh my God. Well, if you want to know from snorting down to smoking or smoking down to shooting, well, you want to know shooting.
Well, you went from smoking to shooting.
Yeah. Shooting is you're completely at peace and all your senses are vibrant and the auditory hallucinations are amazing and you're just like lying there smiling and everything feels so good. I think that's the closest probably to what, you know, David Bowie was like talking about with heroin or something.
I think cocaine was his thing as well during the Thin White Duke era. I think it was cocaine. So now how are you? So now two of you guys are living there in Winston Salem. How are you making money? Because neither one of you are working at this point, right?
Yeah, but I still had my pay. That's the great thing about Wake Forest. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, you guys. My philosophy department people, I'm not going to call you by any names, but you guys funded my coke habit. Thank you so much. I did have that paycheck coming in up until March. So it went from June to March on a full paycheck.
Right.
And I basically shot up the cocaine. I shot it up until the money ran out.
Okay.
Oh, no. I'm not supposed to laugh. It's very tragic.
Well, what it's supposed to be and what it is could be very different things. So what happens when the money runs out?
You know, I had done my share of prostitution for really shitty pay.
When?
Ten is part and parcel of being a female drug addict, Eugene. You put it out or you don't get your drugs. At least if you're as gullible as I was. I mean, I had a few girlfriends who I'm not going to get involved in their sex lives or what they did with dealers. But for me, the dealers, they expected to, you know, get a blowjob at least before they could even sell me any drugs.
So the money's run out. You go through hooker, stripper. You go through, and then where do you end up?
Well, then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that because I believe that my coke addiction was partly maybe sex addiction, and I'm not ashamed of that. I don't regret it. You know, for me, I never considered myself a prostitute. That's the bizarre thing about the term prostitution. This is how I have come to see this. I felt so ashamed about doing drugs that obviously, clearly, I had to do all kinds of demeaning things with my own body in order to get drugs. And who would I have been to expect anything in return? Because I am just an addict and a whore and a female.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward.
You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
So Josephine ends up in a better rehab, or a nicer one, a better fit, a 28-day program. And she emerges from it clean. But what we don't know is that Phil, the guy that she'd been shooting up with in North Carolina, had somehow put together the wherewithal to follow her 3,000 miles and is there when she gets out.
So the first thing we do when I get out of rehab was get a 6-pack of Budweiser and sit there at the boardwalk and look out at the ocean and drink our beers. And then, I really have to go into this. Yes, he got jealous. I mean, he was an ugly drunk. I was not And so he, one night there, he got jealous. He thought that I was flirting with a guy, and he just grabbed my head like a potato sack and slammed me up against a marble pillar, very edged. And my skull cracked open. It's like there was blood all over the pavement. And I was kind of like standing there, there's blood dripping everywhere. And then the ambulances were there and the cops, and I ended up getting like 16 staples in my head, and I hear them rolling him in at the ER too. He's like, Josephine, I'm so sorry. I was like, I only want to say is you are forgiven, but I didn't have the energy to say anything. And the cops, while they were interviewing me there at the hospital bed, they were like, this is the ugliest domestic violence incident we've ever seen. Mm. There was so much blood. So, yeah. And a few weeks later, I don't know. No, it's a few months later. I mean, I got into a new SLE. Phil got into his other SLE. And I stayed clean. He did not. He started shooting heroin. And suddenly he died of an overdose. And I just fell to the floor when they called me in the morning. I was just crying, and it was very bad. Mm. And I was like, that's what drugs can do to a person.
Right. How old was he?
He was about 42.
Mm-hmm. So in movie terms, this would have served kind of as a wake up call for you to change your ways. I mean, in movie terms, is that what happened in real life? Or
Yeah, it did. That's right. It did. It totally did. That's right. It made me just be like, okay, even though heroin was not my drug of choice, and I know he drank heroin, he drank a lot of vodka and combined it with heroin, which will kill a person. Like relapsing on cocaine was not even, you know, in my list of choices by then, because I didn't want to go there. And then I kept going to AA and started feeling strong in myself and happy.
Good.
I started being happy. I could be happy, which was something I hadn't been like genuinely for a long time.
So that sounds good.
Happiness is a real tricky thing.
So you're clean, you're feeling happy. This sounds like a good thing. It sounds like a positive, super healthy development. You're clean. There's a clarity, right? Things continue to get better from there or not?
Yeah, I was loving life. I was living in a beautiful SLE up in Santa Cruz Mountains. And then I fell in love with the father of my oldest daughter,
nice.
Jake. A mutual friend introduced us, and we started to hang out, you know, very innocently in the beginning, just like doing bike rides in the sunset, like along the coastline. It was very romantic in the beginning. It's like very romantic. And it was peachy keen for a while. He was HIV positive, however, and I kept on pretending like I was immune to HIV, which I don't know if I am, but I believed I was. So that would give me an excuse for having unprotected sex with Jake, because Jake was afraid that I would break up with him because of this, obviously, you know. I mean, who wants to keep a HIV-positive boyfriend? But I did. I was like, I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. For me, life is about taking risks. You have no idea what's going to happen. But I've always taken risks. I am a huge risk taker.
You unburden him, essentially. You say, I love you. I probably wish you could have told me sooner. Maybe you said something like that. I don't know. But you get by it, right?
I didn't even think about holding him accountable. I did not even go there. There's something and like some conviction in my soul. That's all I can explain it through. My soul is just like, you cannot be hurt. You cannot be harmed. Do it. Call it what you will. You know, you can call it crazy, drug, hounding, fiending. But there was this crazy pull of my soul just being like, it's okay to do this. And so I have a theory about why I did all this drug, sex, high risk taking. It was my life's mission. It's the purpose of my life at that point in time. Was to experiment and do it as madly and crazily as possible without any limits. And I did it. And I came through. I'm not going to like advise anybody else to do it. But for me, I'm, you know, thanking God.
Right.
I'm thanking God and my angels and guides that they had enough contact to me to just, like, help me feel secure. Because at no point was I panicked about that. That's so bizarre, right? Like, normal people would be like, oh, what the fuck? But I never was.
So now, bringing this up to present, you're living in, I'm going to mispronounce this, Escatuna?
Yeah. Yes, the tuna, yes.
And the happy mother of two kids, things seem to be okay, right?
Oh, they are so well.
All right.
And they are brilliant, sensitive, artistic.
And when you got back to Sweden, Jake was with you or?
No, I left Jake. I left Jake with Sophie in my belly. I left with a child in my stomach in order to give birth to her here in Sweden and have full custody. I do not do romance very well. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I'm pretty happy being single. But at the same time, my heart is open and yeah, I look good anyway.
Let me guess. You got a few other questions. All right, in short order, let's go through them. One, Josephine apparently is not HIV positive. Unbeknownst to me, never heard it before, Swedes, because of how smallpox had ravaged the country hundreds of years earlier, have a genetic disposition to be HIV resistant. Who knew? You could look it up. It's there. The father of her first child has actually met his daughter. The father of the second daughter, who lives in Sweden as well, is involved in his daughter's life. And Josephine herself, despite having the PhD in philosophy, is working toward completing a master's that will allow her to start a business that helps low-income single mothers in Sweden. Now there's your hallmark ending, eh? Eh? Yeah. Next up on Aussie Confidential, we'll find ourselves standing in the middle of the Tenderloin in San Francisco, a neighborhood that harkens back to, on occasion, Times Square back in the 70s. It's not a red light district exactly, but it's not the kind of place you expect to find what we found. Heinrich von Arendt, a man dressed up in fully accurate SS Nazi officer gear. Huh? What? Exactly. Aussie Confidential is produced by who else? Me, Eugene S. Robinson, and executive produced by Robert Kulos. And this episode was sound designed, edited, and mixed by Jamie Kahn and Nick Johnson. For more Aussie Confidential, check us out on Aussie.com. That's OZY.com/confidential. Thanks. Well, that's more stuff I know that's not in the story.